News, great joy for all people you promised to us, Lord. I pray as we look at your word that you would speak to us again, that you would give us a sense of peace in our hearts, that we can be right with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this Christmas we would remember you, our Lord and our Saviour. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Peace. Peace. It's one of those themes of Christmas that we remember, peace. If you were to survey a bunch of Australians about what Christmas means, I reckon I'd be surprised if someone didn't say that Christmas was about peace. It's the time of year when we remember peace. But what do we mean? What do we mean when we say that Christmas is about peace? Because peace can mean so many things. When I'm anxious or scared, when I'm disturbed or angry, when I'm lonely or I'm frustrated, when there's that churning in my heart, I'm looking for peace. My heart cries for peace, to be calm, to be soothed. There's something inside us all that needs to be brought to peace. If you were to go to a shopping centre last week, I don't think that it would scream peace. You can imagine the scene, right? The crowds, the throngs of people all busy running around, the frenzy of buying the food and the presents and all the crush in the shopping center while the carols blare and the lights flash and all the larger-than-life advertising. It doesn't scream peace. How many of us get to Christmas and we are just exhausted? We just want to collapse in a chair and we just want a few minutes of peace and quiet away from all the frenzy. In Jesus' time, there was a type of peace that was known throughout the world, the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. Caesar Augustus, who's mentioned there in the start of Luke chapter 2, he'd unified the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had been split up amongst the different generals, and Caesar Augustus unified the Roman Empire by conquering all of his rivals in a brutal civil war. He proclaimed that he had brought justice and peace to the whole world. And as the empire rolled on and as they conquered more and more people, they ushered in the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It was peace bought at the end of a sword, and it came with a cost. Anyone who rose up and rebelled against Rome, any rebellion, any dissent, was brutally crushed under the boot of the Roman Empire. There was a type of peace. There was a type of unity, but it was the type of peace that was won with brutality. One of the leader of the Britons, conquered people, said, "Robbery, butchery, rapine, the liars call empire. They create desolation and call it peace." That was the peace of Rome. They create desolation and they call it peace. Christmas is about peace. Christmas is about peace. Maybe you're longing for some inner peace at the moment. Maybe you're looking forward to some peace and quiet with your family. Maybe you're praying for world peace and you're looking out at a world at war. But Christmas, when we talk about the peace of Christmas, we're talking about another type of peace, a different type of peace. The announcement of peace on Christmas morning was the announcement of the end of hostilities. It was the making of peace between heaven and earth, the making of peace between God and humanity. And before we can understand the peace of Christmas, we need to understand that there existed hostility between God and humanity. The story of God and humanity was one of broken and hostile relationship. The story of God and humanity was a story of rejection, a story of alienation. We were created by a good and gracious, loving God, to live under his generous and gracious rule. That's how we were made. It's what we were made for. And yet our rejection of God's rule, our rebellion against his rule, created hostility and alienation. Where there should have been trust and love and obedience, instead there was fear and disobedience and hatred. There was no peace between God and humanity. We inherited a feud between God and man, and we have taken our part in that feud by rejecting him as well. And here's the glorious good news of Christmas. Into that hostility, on that first Christmas morning, God brings peace. He offers peace by sending his son Jesus. Mary and Joseph lay Jesus in a feeding trough. And as they do, the shepherds living rough in the fields with their sheep are visited by an angel, and they are terrified. That's what happens every time in the Bible when an angel appears. They are terrified, but the angel gives them assurance. Good news! Great joy! Today in the royal city, the town of David, a Savior is born. The Messiah, the Lord, a king who will save, and you're going to find him. They will find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, lying in a feeding trough, a baby lying in a feeding trough. And the great company of heavenly hosts appear. That word company is kind of lost on us. Maybe we've seen too many Christmas pageants with kids with tinsel halos. That term company is a military term. These is the heavenly host, the armies of God. If you substitute in the word battalion and troops, you get a sense of us. Suddenly, a great battalion of heavenly troops appeared with the angel. And they announce peace. They announce peace. This army comes announcing peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Christmas is about peace. It's about peace between God and humanity. It's about the end of a feud that has marked our relationship since forever. The armies of heaven appear not to conquer, not to subjugate, not to crush us under their boots like a Roman legion, not to bring in the Pax Romana. They come to announce the glory of God and the end of hostilities. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. That baby lying in the manger is the King. That baby lying in the manger is the Savior, the Messiah. That baby lying in the manger is the offer of peace from heaven to earth. The offer of peace from God to humanity. He is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It's just as Russell prayed. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God who takes us under his wing and loves us, takes away our sin. He's a God of peace. There's a strange story from Christmas in the year 1914, the first year of the First World War. Christmas 1914. It was the first year of World War I, and the Germans and the English were lined up in trench warfare, shooting at each other, killing each other, men heaped up dying in no man's land. And on Christmas Day, something remarkable happened. The armies laid down their arms. And they came and they met in no man's land. And soldiers who just days before had been shooting at each other, trying to kill each other, come out and meet as friends in no man's land. They laid down their arms on Christmas Day. That carol we sung earlier, Silent Night, it's a German carol, an old German carol. Can you imagine German troops singing Silent Nacht? And English troops singing Silent Night on the same night. Let me read to you from an account from Captain Robert Patrick Miles. He wrote home and he said this: "We are having the most extraordinary Christmas Day imaginable, a sort of unarranged and quite unauthorized but perfectly understood and scrupulously observed truce exists between us and our friends on the front. The funny thing is, it only seems to exist in this part of the battle line. On our right and on our left, we can all hear them firing away as cheerfully as ever. The thing started last night, a bitter cold night with white frost. Soon after dusk, when the Germans started shouting, 'Merry Christmas, Englishmen!' to us. Of course, our fellows shouted back, and presently large numbers of both sides had left their trenches. The agreement, all on their own, came to be made that we should not fire at each other until after midnight tonight. The men were all fraternizing in the middle. We naturally did not allow them too close to our line. We swapped cigarettes, and in utmost good fellowship, not a shot was fired all night." What a remarkable picture of Christmas peace. People have been killing each other, shooting at each other, dying, are now standing in no man's land, burying their dead, fellowshipping together, swapping cigarettes and stories and photos and buttons. For a brief moment, the peace of Christmas, the end of hostilities, broke in for German and English troops. And as we know, that peace ended all too soon. The captain that wrote that account, he was killed in action on the 30th of December, 5 days later. In Christmas, the heavenly armies come announcing the end of hostilities between God and humanity. Jesus came and he crossed that boundary between us and God, took on our flesh, became one of us in a manger, in a stable, in no man's land. God came to meet with us. The Son of God came to offer us peace. And can I suggest that the peace that we are looking for, that peace in our hearts, that peace in our frantic lives, that peace that we so desperately need in the world, can I suggest that that peace comes first when we have peace with God? When we accept Jesus, this Prince of Peace, as our King, we can enter into that proclamation of the heavenly host: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how we need peace. In our hearts, our troubled hearts, we need peace. In our frantic, busy lives, we need peace. And in this world that is racked by war, we need peace. But Lord, we know that we will never have that peace until we come to peace with you. Lord, I pray this Christmas that we would accept your offer of peace, that the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus, that you would enter in and change our hearts. Show us the depth of your love and your grace and your mercy toward us. Take away that animosity and that bitterness in our hearts. And would you again teach us what it means to be reconciled? Reconciled to you and reconciled to each other. We pray it in Jesus' name, our Lord, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen.